yesterday, mistakes of the past. Today all things are made brand new. Don't it feel good to know that all is well and unfolding as it should? I can change my reality by changing my mind. Perfect peace, joy, and happiness is yours and it's mine.
Thank you, choir. That was awesome. Love that. So, good morning, Unity Minneapolis. My name is Dr. Rita Webster, and I'm honored to serve on your board of trustees. Welcome to those in our sanctuary and everybody online. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. Central, and you can watch our services anytime on demand at our website or on YouTube. Our beautiful flowers today commemorate the 1 year angelversary of Nicholas Weber's transition. We continue to surround his mother, Judith Killian, and Nicholas's sister, Natalie Weber, in great love. Today's after-service snacks in Friendship Hall are a gift from Judith and Natalie as a thank you for all the love and support they received from this Unity community in the past year. Our fall book study begins today. We're blessed and excited to welcome Karen Herring, author of Trusting Change, as our guest speaker and workshop leader today. Pick up a study guide and sign up for a book study group in the Garden Court or on our website. Books are available in the bookstore. Keys to the Kingdom, our fall prosperity class, begins Tuesday evening. We have a powerful teaching team with Reverend Pat and our own Board of Trustees President Nancy Merritt. Get all the details and sign up in the Garden Court. Our healing and wellness service returns this Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. That'll take place in the Fillmore Room. Calling all volunteers and wannabe volunteers, join us for a spaghetti dinner on October 6th. Come and celebrate one another and learn more about the joys of volunteering. Sign up so we can plan for food. Next Sunday, please join our Board of Trustees for a community meeting at 11:45. Stay in the know about our facilities transformation, our church finances, and the search for a temporary location during our construction. After the community meeting, scoot home, get your pets, and come on back for the 2 p.m. pet blessing. Later this month, we're excited about Art in Unity, a celebration of art, creativity, and vision on Friday evening, October 13th. Join us for the Unity Minneapolis Art Fair, along with a fun-filled celebration of the one-year anniversary of our capital campaign kickoff. Also, later this month, a monthly grief circle begins on October 16th, and our fall membership class is the third weekend in October. You'll find details in your bulletin, on the church website, Facebook page, or our weekly e-newsletters. You can also email or call the church office. And now, please join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer.
Join me in our opening prayer. I invite you just to take that deep breath with me and go within. Divine Spirit within, as we gather here today to embark on a journey of trusting change, we affirm your guidance and we affirm your presence. We recognize that change is a constant in our lives, and that it is often in those moments of transition that we grow, that we learn, that we evolve. Sweet Holy Spirit within, thank you for granting us the wisdom to embrace change with open hearts and open minds, knowing that it is through change that we discover new opportunities and new pathways. So this morning, may we find the courage to let go of our fears and doubts, trusting in the process of transformation. We bless our community. We give thanks for the opportunity to journey together this journey of trusting change. And this morning, we pray with so many that are going through that process of change. We hold each and every one in our thoughts, knowing that whatever we are experiencing in our life right now, that God is greater than the circumstances and greater than the experience. So it is with great joy that together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day. We invite you to stand for our opening song.
Never be
Bravo. Thank you, and please be seated. Bring it on, everything new. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, you're in the right and perfect place. You're in the right and perfect place as we embark on this journey of change. We welcome you this morning. We're so grateful that you're with us today. We also welcome those, again, that are live streaming with us today. We're grateful that you're with us. Unity is that positive path of spiritual living that helps us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. And one of our core values here at Unity is that of welcoming. So, my dear friends, if you are here and you are new with us today, or you feel like you're new with us today, we would like to honor your presence. We invite you, if you would, just to take your courage in your hand, calling all courage, and raise your hand as I raise my hand. New or feel like you're new? New or feel like you're new? Gosh, we got some courage out there. We got some courage out there. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That packet of information tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. If you fill out that card and turn that into our book desk, we have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you that personal one-on-one welcome. We also welcome you that are live streaming, that are new, or you feel like you're new today. We invite you to fill out that contact card, that link that takes you there, and someone from our staff will reach out to you. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this, and that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold that divine presence within you. Let's appreciate our guests, okay? Let's affirm together our core values. This is what we are about. We are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. And if you'll notice today that today is the first Sunday of the month where we invite you to wear our name tag. We feel like that helps build community. Also, where we honor birthdays and anniversaries. So for the month of October, if you have a birthday or an anniversary, we invite you to stand just for a moment and remain standing. Birthdays and anniversaries, birthdays and anniversaries. Look around the room. Remain standing. Beautiful, beautiful. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our Unity Movement, says that we have these 12 powers within us, and he has taken a power and assigned it to each month. And for the month of October, he has assigned the power of
zeal.
Oh. Zeal. David, zeal. Yes. No, I don't know whether you knew that or you. It's always good. Anyway, he's assigned a disciple as well, and that's Simon the Canaanite. The color for the month is orange, and the zeal supposedly is located in the back of your head. I think it's in other places too, don't you? But it's the back of your head. And zeal is the ability to be enthusiastic, to be passionate, to start, and to motivate. It's the ability to be enthusiastic, be compassionate, start, and motivate. And the affirmation, my dear friends, that we work with this month is, I enthusiastically accept my good and go forward to achieve my purpose. I enthusiastically accept my good and go forward to achieve my purpose. Let's appreciate these birthdays and anniversaries. As you know, we begin our book groups, that's our fall study program. We begin that this week, and we're looking at this wonderful book called Trusting Change. Also, we're blessed today to have us to begin this series, the author of this book. You know, the author of this book, and let me say a few things about her. She's a writer, she's a teacher, she's been immersed in the work of words for most of her life. She currently lives in St. Paul on the homelands of the Dakota and Ojibwe people. She is the author of Writing to Wake the Soul, Opening the Sacred Conversation Within, and also the author of Trusting Change, Finding Our Way Through Personal and Global Transformation, newly published just in 2022, and that's the book we'll be looking at for our book group. She's also an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister, and she is serving as a consultant literary minister since 2008. She does workshops. She helps people go through this process of change, and we are really blessed to have her today. Would you give a warm welcome, please, to Karen Harry. Now the reading of our daily word, the daily word.
We now move into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayers with by prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for another additional 30 days. The word for today is prosperity. Practicing gratitude deepens my experience of prosperity. My life may be full of blessings. My family and friends, my home, my memories and experiences. But it can be easy to take it for granted if I focus more on what I'm missing rather than what I have. Being thankful, expressing my gratitude for my good, opens my heart, but it also opens my eyes. In many ways, I am prosperous. I count my blessings, pausing to give thanks for each one. The more often I do this, the more feelings of gratitude will fill my heart, crowding out constricting feelings of scarcity, fear, or envy. From the serenity I feel in my heart to the peace that calms my mind, I am prosperous. As I greet each day with a prayer of thanks, my blessings abound. And scripture also tells us, my dear friends, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. That's from Psalms chapter 36, verse 8. The word for today is prosperity.
Feel the mighty power.
Surely the presence of God is in this place, for you are in this place. And that presence lives and moves and has its being within you, expressing through you. So join me in meditation. Just gently close your eyes and take a deep breath. Inhale the stillness, the quiet of this moment. And then exhale any tension or any resistance that is within you. And now bring your awareness to the concept of change. Change, that natural rhythm of life, the constant flow of the universe. It is the river that carries us forward on our journey, change. And as you sit in this quiet space, consider how change has shaped your life. Perhaps reflect on the times when change brought you growth and new opportunities and unexpected blessings. Trust that the universe has a plan for you and a plan for all those that you love. Trust that God, known by many names, is always working in your favor, even if you cannot see it in this present moment. So let us inhale deeply. And as you exhale, release any fear, any apprehension, and trust in the wisdom of the divine. The same wisdom that guides the seasons, the stars, the tides. And just as a caterpillar trusts the process of transformation, so too can you trust the changes unfolding, unfolding in your life right now. So let's just surrender together to this divine presence within, as we sit for a few moments in the stillness and in the quiet. Thank you. Thank you, sweet spirit, for the stillness and the quiet, the peace that passes all understanding, as our teacher and way-shower Jesus reminds us. Peace. And this morning we pray with those that have requested our prayers represented by our prayer box. We hold each and every prayer request in a consciousness of love, a consciousness of answered prayer. And we give thanks in advance for answered prayer. So we say thank you, sweet spirit, for this precious time together. We say thank you, and so it is. Amen.
I begin with a poem from my book, Trusting Change, a poem of my own titled, Here. Here, where already you have left behind by choice or by force what you knew, what you cherished, what you maybe took for granted. Here, where not yet do you know where you're headed, what it will take, what it will give, how it will change you. Here, on the threshold, you balance on a comma between the no longer and the not yet. Now, may you pause, breathing in, breathing out on the cusp in between. Notice where fullness gives way to emptying.
as the full moon each month sloughs in its waning to make way for new waxing. Now, letting go of attachments and assumptions, may you release what you've clutched in your fear, making room for the stranger knocking, who is always you. Now, may you discover what you've carried within all along, but not known, named, or needed. Ancestors' whisperings, newborn powers, the hope of the young, the resilience of Earth and her beings. Now these are crucial. Clear a path to their wellspring. Walk it often. Keep it open. Now may you listen, one ear turned inward to the heart and the body's knowing, one ear turned outward to the suffering and the joy that will teach us. Now look around you, really look around you. Look around you at the others waiting with you on the curl of this comma. They will need you. You will need them. Now, together, we will cross over into the not yet, where, having let go, we might finally learn a new way is possible. Now, here. It is a joy to be with you, so thank you for having me here today. I am thinking about a sunny blue sky summer's day. My husband and I were visiting my sister's family at a rented beach house on the east shore of Lake Michigan. On that particular day, my sister and I had decided to take the two small kayaks that came with the beach house out on the water, into a bay that appeared deceptively more navigable than the wider Great Lake to which it belonged. We donned life preservers and sunglasses and set out on these two personal kayaks that were, in retrospect, not much more than human-sized bath toys. It was glorious. We paddled and floated, we talked and we laughed. I still remember in the way that a moment can sometimes have lasting photographic quality, recording the beautiful sight of my sister's smiling face, radiant against that true blue sky with the vast expanse of water all around her. We were having such a great time, we had stopped thinking about where we were and where we were going and where we had come from. The day was as open as the lake around us. Then, in one quick instant, everything changed. My sister leaned over too far, her kayak capsized, and despite every effort she made, she could not pull herself back up into the kayak. Only then did we notice how far into the lake we had gone. Only then did she notice that her life vest didn't fit properly and was so loose it barely kept her head above water. Only then did we both realize the danger we were in. I tell you now, years later, that we both made it safely back to land. But I will tell you, too, that simply recalling that day, even now, charges my whole body with alarm. The arduous and fearful journey back to shore, my sister in the water holding onto the back of my kayak with her diminishing strength, and me paddling with everything I had to tow her and her kayak across the wide bay toward a shore that really didn't seem to be getting any closer. I remember, too, how our families, without a boat or any means of rescuing us and too far away to shout to us or hear from us, lined up on that shore with their own fears mounting because they could not see my sister in the water. They only saw me paddling toward them with her empty kayak behind me. We don't tell this story often in the family. I tell it now with my sister's permission as an example of how quickly life can capsize. How one minute it shines with exuberant bliss and beauty, and the next, still under the same sky and sun, it upends all assumptions, causing a trembling to the core with a host of accompanying emotions, fear, anxiety, regret, despair, and so much more. This experience of sweeping dramatic change is likely not foreign to any of you, even if your kayak has never literally capsized. Whether suddenly or slowly, by accident or illness, by choice or by chance, thresholds open before us requiring that we cross them. And because of that, it is necessarily also made of moments when what we had assumed to be true is overturned, requiring that we work for all we're worth to stay afloat. We go on high alert, taking in the new realities around us while keeping our eyes on that distant shore. This is the journey of life itself, always moving us toward an unknown future, and often requiring that we let go of what we assumed would happen next and what we expected that to mean. If it hadn't been abundantly clear before, the pandemic brought this truth home to us worldwide, did it not? And individually in very personal, difficult ways. We experienced, among other forms of loss that were real and hard, we experienced something called assumptive loss. And the deep, sometimes existential grief and disorientation that this kind of loss can stir in us. What is assumptive loss? Understanding it first requires that we begin by noticing that what we sometimes call normal life, which of course is relative to each person regarding it as normal. This is what Colin Murray Parks named the assumptive world, including everything we know and think we know about ourselves, about others, and the larger world, and the way we understand it all to function. It includes our expectations for the future, our preferences and our prejudices about the present, and our interpretations of the past. Living through significant change often involves the loss of this assumptive world, not only what we expected of our circumstances and of others, but also what we expected of ourselves. And I will note, on this particular morning, I think there are probably several thousand people in the Twin Cities experiencing assumptive loss as the race they prepared to run was canceled 2 hours before they came to the starting line. Life is made of this. In the first year of the pandemic, many of us experienced that our own assumptions about ourselves were no longer true. Some people I know who were lifelong introverts told me they thought they'd be happy staying at home, only to discover a loneliness or frustration that they did not understand. While other people I knew who were extroverts expected that they'd never endure that much time alone sheltering in place, and they discovered they rather enjoyed their own company. Or one friend known to be a busy, active person before the pandemic told me in the second year of it that she'd become so bored and lazy she didn't even recognize herself. There are so many ways that our assumptions about ourselves get challenged. And this is why assumptive loss can have such a big impact. It opens questions we might not have known we were even asking, creating a groundlessness, not only in our circumstances, but also in our identity, our purpose. No wonder it can be so overwhelming and so fraught with grief and anxiety. Think back to the beginning of the pandemic and the questions we were asking in the spring of 2020. Should we close our church buildings? It was unthinkable. And we did. And when we did, the next question was, for how long? And soon after, the question, how will we do church? And how will we be together? Now, I understand you were ahead of the curve in this, that you were already live streaming then. So yay for you. Some of us had to figure that out on the fly. But you also had to figure out how to be this collective body as you were watching things online. It was a different way of being together. In many meetings and conversations in early 2020, I remember often not even knowing what questions to ask. And instead, we were asked to live into the larger questions beneath and beyond those unknowns, like the question of how and what we would be with one another. Or to borrow from the poet Mark Nepos' words, mustering the courage, quote, to ask of everything and everyone you meet, what bridge are we? Now, there's a question that is still salient today, more than 3.5 years after COVID dramatically overturned our lives. What bridge are we? Or to put it another way, what bridge are we building together? Connecting what we've left behind with that distant shore where we are going. Assumptive loss comes in all different shapes and sizes, just as our experiences of the pandemic did, and as all lived experience does. Whatever the pandemic brought your way, likely your experience of it was different than mine. And though we have all been changed by it, each of us has been changed differently. So, we are invited to be curious. First about ourselves, not making assumptions about the meaning and impact of our daily experiences, which might be different than we thought they'd be. And significantly being curious about each other, to ask of ourselves and one another, how is it for you today? And what do you need? And how might we get through this together? As the writer June Jordan once noted, our earth is round, and among other things, that means that the difference of our positions will show stars in your window that I cannot even imagine. Your sky may burn bright with light, and mine at the same moment spreads beautiful to darkness. End quote. We do great injustice to one another and to ourselves and to the reality of the round world we share when we consciously or unconsciously assume our experience is or should be the same as that of others. A friend I met long after her children were grown once told me of her early years as a stay-at-home parent, newly moved to Alaska, where her husband had been relocated. She described her isolation as a parent and how it had been compounded by as the long nights of the Alaskan winter slowly claimed more and more of the sunlight each day. The lengthening darkness, she said, was nearly unbearable. And finally, the days became so short that she would watch the clock carefully to make sure she was standing right there at her kitchen window for the short span of time, the single slice of time when the sun could be seen both rising and setting. Within the single, all-too-brief viewing, I picture her waiting there at the kitchen window each day for that one fleeting glimpse of light that was to last her for the remaining 23 hours. And I imagine that other places or homes in Alaska might have had a slightly better view of the sparse sunlight on those darkened winter days. I imagine, too, what a relief it would have been to my friend had someone invited her to share their view, whether it had more light or not. This is what congregational life at its best does. It brings us together in the joys and the beauty and the times of light and the times of darkness that life brings our way individually and collectively. It beckons us to stay with each other, especially when life capsizes us and our assumptions are swept away. It invites us to share our strength and our weariness, our hopes and our grief, our frustrations and our dreams and our power as we paddle toward that distant shore. And just as each of you here today, in this sanctuary and in the sanctuary expanded online, is nested in the larger strength and support of this congregation, this community of faith is also held in the greater strength and support of other faith communities across geography and time. We are, as people of faith, held in and buoyed by a wide web and long lineage of faith, of resilience, of resistance, and wisdom. As we rise to the challenges of this time, and they are many to be sure, we are accompanied not only by one another here and now, but by those who have gone before us and those who are yet to come. Those not yet born who will look back on this time of great change in gratitude for all of you who kept reaching out to one another in new and old ways, sharing both the confusion and the possibilities of this upturned and wave-tossed world to discover and strengthen the bonds that you will pass on to future generations. I understand your congregation is also on a unique threshold of change related to this building. Your house of worship, you are moving, I have heard, to a temporary location not even known. It is a book meant to be read by others, slowly, with time for reflection and conversation, time for participating in change and community, which I understand many of you will be doing in the coming weeks as you read this for your congregational book read. I also invite you to join me here at the church today at noon, when we will explore together what life on the threshold is about. Discovering what living on the thresholds of change is and how it is an invitation into the gifts of change as well as the losses it inevitably brings. Throughout history, the threshold's been regarded as a dynamic space between one place and time and another, between one way of being and another. And in this in-between space, as we leave the past behind and move toward an unknown future, we have the opportunity to make use of the dynamics of change, not to control it, as the Serenity Prayer reminds us, but to engage it in shaping a future more filled with love and peace, with kinship and hope and joy than the past we are leaving behind. My book names three characteristics of change: that change echoes, meaning that there is resonance between personal change and global or shared change, and that you can participate in one level of change to make changes on the other level and vice versa. Two, that participating in change is a shared task. It always goes better when we do it together. And three, that change is embodied. And we access more wisdom when we tune into our embodied knowledge. It is no secret that life is made of change and that the pace of change is accelerating. The rituals and ceremonies that have always helped us navigate life's changes now mark but a small fraction of the many changes we are living through. But they can still help us to understand the dynamics of change and how we can participate in making it more trustworthy. I'm thinking of my own child's graduation from college years ago. On that warm day in June, my husband and I sat in the university's sunny stadium bleachers, squinting at thousands of graduates as they filed in their purple gowns and matching mortarboards, trying to find Kat, our only child, in the crowd. Their faces were small in the distance, and we never did find Kat. But after the students were all assembled, the president of the university stepped up to the podium and asked the graduates to turn and face us in the bleachers, the crowd of witnesses that had assembled for them. And as the graduates turned toward us, the president asked us to stand. And I felt the eyes of the young graduates scanning the bleachers for their people as we were scanning the rows for our graduate. And then the president asked the graduates to applaud their loved ones in gratitude for our support, and then invited us in the stands to applaud the graduates in recognition of their accomplishments. And as we stood there, applauding one another, I lost my place, applauding one another. And we did. I did lose my place in there, because there we were, all of us gazing into each other's faces, looking for the ones we could claim as our own, but moved by the collective of all of us together. Not to see that, in fact, every young face on that field belonged to every one of us in the bleachers would have been impossible. And that every one of us in the bleachers was rooting for every one of them. Each of us of every age reeling a bit, feeling a bit unsteady from the uncertainty of the future and its many unknowns, a future we would all have to make and claim and save together. In that moment, I felt all of my assumptions about my child, about the graduates, about myself, about what the future could and would hold, all fall away as my eyes, my ears, my whole heart opened to all of them, to all of us. I felt my senses orient to something larger, something sacred and divine that inspired in me great wonder and even greater faith in that moment and in the future we would all create together. And I have carried that moment's wonder and faith with me ever since. Today, we, you, I, everyone in this world are all crossing thresholds of many different kinds. All are invitations to us to pause and pay attention to the wisdom in our hearts and bodies, and to the support and encouragement found in our relationships and communities, and to the opportunities we have to make use of these times of great change, to transform ourselves and the world we share into something more inclined toward peace, toward joy, toward justice, toward love. I close with the final stanza of my poem that I shared in the opening. And as you hear these words, I invite you to really look around, turn side to side, in front of, and even behind you. Go 360 here, and let your eyes meet the eyes of the others around you. The poem says this: now, look around you at the others waiting with you on the curl of this comma. Go ahead, look around you. You will need them. They will need you. together, we will round this bend, cross over into the not yet, which, having let go, we might finally learn. A new way is possible. Now, here. May it be so, and amen.
If everything that you thought you knew was turned upside down, opposite from your point of view, how would you feel if the ground was really the sky? And all of this time you've been walking when you could have been flying.
Everything.
While the choir is being seated, not only do we want to appreciate them, but I also want to acknowledge Rachel Holder. I want to acknowledge Rachel. She's not new to us, but she's our new choir director, and we appreciate you greatly. We appreciate how this choir practices. This is a volunteer choir, and they practice each and every Thursday night, and it's a joy. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. Thank you. And Reverend Karen, thank you for this timely, truthful, inspiring talk. We appreciate you, and we're so grateful you just live in St. Paul. Thank you, God. And yes, 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 yes. So, you know, we can have more of her at noon. You know, and so as to quote my friend Edwin Gaines, you just thought you had plans this afternoon. You know, this is where we're going to be this afternoon. You know, we're able to do things like this. We're able for this choir, this music program, wonderful speakers that come in. We're able to do things like this because of you and your support here at Unity Minneapolis and because of those online as well. So at this time, we're going to practice that spiritual law of circulation, that spiritual law of giving and receiving. So if you're online, there's instructions there on how to give. I'm going to invite our ushers, please, to come forth as we prepare our tithes and our gifts and our offerings. So if you're giving with someone, if you're giving it, hold it and bless it together. Bless that. You can easily give with that Q code in your program and other ways as well. We really want to make it easy for you. So let me affirm our offertory blessing and then ask you to affirm it with me and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am together. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silent. Thank you, God. Amen. So let us take just a moment as we bless these gifts. We bless all the gifts that's been received this week. And we're grateful. We're grateful. And we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. Amen. Inviting our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in the sanctuary, and they're here to hold that sacred space with you, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, by all means, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Let's appreciate our chaplains. Thank you. Next week, we're holding a community meeting to ensure we're bringing all of us along on our journey with both our building fund and our operating expenses. This is an opportunity for you to ask questions on both of these areas and ensure you're engaged and you are educated as we go through this change. We are a prosperous community. We have pledged $2.1 million, and we have brought in almost We hit the 1 million mark this week, bringing in toward our new building. In fact, when we brought it in, I heard noise coming up from upstairs, yelling and screaming, and that was our accountant's office, okay? So, praise God, hallelujah, praise God. So, we are grateful for that. That's amazing, and speaks to the prosperity consciousness of this community. We believe we can bring that prosperity consciousness even more fully to the operating side of our church. Please come next Sunday to be a part of this discussion of our finances and how we're planning for 2024 and beyond. This meeting will not be live streamed. Please attend in person, and we look forward to seeing you. Our entire board, almost our entire board, will be here next week. It's a great opportunity for you to ask any questions about the transformation that we are going through. Are you excited about what we're doing here? Yes, praise God. Yeah. Well, about 50% of you are excited. I don't know about the other 50. Well, do we have children out there? Let's bring them in, okay?
We are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light, in the light of God. In the light, in the light, in the light, in the light. In the light, in the light, in the light of God. You are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. You are walking in the light, in the light of God. In the light.
Crew we have right here.
Whoa.
We are talking about who is in our family. So in our YES, we talked about different members of our family. We sang songs. We did our sacred circle. And then our Uniteens in YOU, we're talking about the nature of God today. So I have a Uniteen who's going to share a little more about that.
Hi, my name's Javier, and we were talking about, like, what is God? And we made this collage.
Thanks, Javier.
Thank you. And you know, you too can have your children and grandchildren up here as well. You know, we would love for that to happen. And you too can also participate in our youth and family ministry program. There's a room for you there as well. I'd like to appreciate these adult volunteers, okay? You guys are amazing. You know, I hope you leave here feeling better than when you got here. And if you don't, you don't need to be here. Because really, we want to feel good, you know? And so many insights, Reverend. Thank you so much, Reverend Karen. Thank you. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. So together we know. And before we do that, speak to at least three people in the sanctuary before you leave. It can change your life. You might get married. You never know. Let's go that side. So together we know that. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well.
In this world there's a whole lot of trouble, baby. In this world there's a whole lot of pain. In this world there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you could be giving? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly?